Well, look, we move on. Perched on the edge of Europe, this beautiful island of ours embraces the ocean it faces. The Atlantic Ocean is part of who we are. Since humans first arrived here, we've tried to understand it and to master it. But listeners who live along our western seaboard will know we have a bit to go on both fronts. To the fore in all of this are scientists working in our universities and research institutes. And I'm joined now by Dr. Shane Burgum, who is, of course, a regular on this show with Sean, and he's a physicist at the UCD School of Education. Morning, Shane. Thanks
Good
so much
morning.
For coming back in again. Listen, it's a vast ocean, a vast topic. It's kind of hard to know where to start. What effect does the Atlantic Ocean have on this country?
Well, firstly, it's poetic. It inspires you to sit by the ocean in Ireland. I think my job has brought me around the world, but there's too few places, I think, that you could go to that are more beautiful than the western seaboard of Ireland. And the Atlantic Ocean is what shapes it. It's what shapes Ireland. It's what makes Ireland habitable. That's the first thing. So our climate and our weather comes from the Atlantic Ocean. Ireland is very far north. So if you take out a globe at home or look at a map and you go across the Atlantic to the other side, you'll be in Newfoundland in Canada. And anyone who knows anything about Canada knows it's wet, it's white, and it's cold, and people don't live there because of that, not in huge numbers. But we here have this green gem of an island, even though it's so far north. And that's because the Atlantic Ocean, it carries warm water from the Caribbean up to us. And that warming water, it keeps our climate temperate so that things like grass can grow all year round. We have deciduous trees. We don't have that much ice. We don't have that much snow. It never gets too hot. It never gets too cold. It's like a Goldilocks country here.
You also make the point, I think, Shane, that some places, particularly in the West Cork region, it's almost got a subtropical climate due to the influence of the Gulf Stream.
Yes, this year I went to the Beira Peninsula on a holiday, and I went out to Garnish Island in Glengariff Bay, and I was amazed at the plant life that was there. There were things growing at 53 degrees north that you would normally find in more subtropical climates, and that's because of the consistent warming action of the ocean. People who live near the sea here will know that they rarely get frosts or hard frosts. And so plants can grow in places that you just would not expect. However, I suppose it's also fair to say that the ocean brings the weather. And so a few days down in West Cork, and I think anyone will realise that the Atlantic Ocean throws as much weather at you as is humanly possible.
I mean, do you think our Atlantic storms are getting worse, or is it just that weather forecasters are better informed?
Well, yes to both, right? So weather forecasters, nearly all of whom are physicists, actually, they're really well informed. They have fantastic ways of doing their work. They use computer modelling. But they're able to tell us with huge certainty that our weather is changing and our climate is changing. And in Ireland, we see that as stronger storms. So if the ocean is warming, and we know that it is warming, it is beyond doubt that climate change is happening, and it is also beyond doubt that it is due to human influence. And for us in this part of the world, that means that the warmer ocean has more energy. And that energy means that we're going to have more rain because there's more evaporate from the ocean. And so we have stronger amounts of rain. This week we're seeing that, right? We also have deeper low pressures. And so that means stronger wind. It means more tidal flooding. So in 2014, Storm Darwin came, and we were told this was a 1 in 20 year event. And then a little while later, in October 2017, we had, of course, Ophelia, and we've had countless more since. And so these once in 20 year events are now becoming extremely common. And I heard one of your colleagues say during the week, this is manifested by the amount of houses that are being disconnected from the ESB due to storms. The number of homes each year now in Ireland that are being disconnected due to bad weather is increasing at an alarming rate. And that is because the weather is changing, and the weather is changing because the climate is changing, and the climate is changing because the ocean is getting warmer.
One of our listeners has just tweeted, Shane, for you, but hasn't the Gulf Stream been impacted by melting ice? Is it not the case that it's not as consistent as in the past? That's from a very knowledgeable, obviously, Catherine Fogarty.
Well, Catherine's bang on there, because one of the effects of climate change is that the Greenland ice sheet is melting. And so the Greenland ice sheet is a huge ice cube in the North Atlantic, and it's melting into the ocean, and it's changing the dynamics of the ocean. So it's when you look look out at the ocean, you think it's all very steady and calm. And beneath it are incredible features. And some of them are rivers within the ocean. They're movements of warm and cold currents. And so the warm water is coming up from the Caribbean and moving northwest towards Ireland, keeping us cool in the summer and warm in the winter. However, like, you know, your gin and tonic at home, you put an ice cube in there, it's going to change the dynamics. And so the Greenland ice sheet, if it melts completely, scientists predict that it may turn off the ocean currents in the North Atlantic. Not certain, but it could turn that off because it would affect things like the salinity and the general temperatures in the ocean. So that would mean that Ireland could become as cold as places in northern Canada. It would mean that Western Europe, to all extents and purposes, would become relatively uninhabitable.
Wow. OK, well, look, part of the fascination, of course, with the Atlantic Ocean has, of course, been all the attempts to cross it, going right back to the 19th century, Shane. It's hard to believe that before the transatlantic cable was laid down, it actually took 2 weeks to get a message from North America to Europe, because all the messages, they were sent on boats.
Absolutely. Ireland must be one of the corners of the world, because you could get a message here and then it took 2 weeks to get a note across to the US. And so in the 1850s, you think, what else was going on in Ireland at that time? Imagine that engineers were planning to build transatlantic links under the water. And Irish scientists were to the fore in that. And so people who know Valentia Island will know that there is a cable station there. And so it took about 15 years to get the first cable actually laid, because they broke, and when they got one down, it stopped working after a few days. This would have made rural electrification, or indeed the internet broadband thing at the moment, seem sort of mild in comparison to the amount of money that would have gone into this connecting Ireland to the US. Eventually they got there. The first message was sent from Queen Victoria over to President Buchanan, and it took an incredible 17 hours to send the message. No tweets, no instant messaging. And it took right into the 20th century for the communications to improve, such that they could write communications at anything like a reasonable rate. Absolutely incredible precision engineering that went into it, trying to lay this cable across the Atlantic bed below it. Because when you look what's beneath the Atlantic Ocean, it's actually quite interesting.
What is beneath the Atlantic
Ocean? What lies beneath? Well, there are researchers in the University of Limerick, a guy called Dan Toll, who's told me a great deal about what's below the Irish Atlantic Ocean. There are mountains and there are valleys. So if you were to head west from somewhere beautiful like Lahinch, you would go along and you'd be on a shelf below the water. It's quite calm and it's quite flat. You'd be on the Porcupine Bank, and then all of a sudden you'd fall off this cliff under the ocean, and you're into the Rockall Trough. And so you'll keep going until you reach the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. And so you're going up and down and undulating under the water. And so they build devices that are able to remotely operate on
like
the
robots.
Seabed. Absolutely. And they can dive to depths of around a kilometre, which is incredible when you think of the pressures and the temperatures that machine has to operate under.
How do we go, Shane, about capturing the power of this incredible ocean to meet our energy needs?
Absolutely. So I think Ireland is like the Saudi Arabia of renewable energy. And given that it's Science Week and given that it's Climate Week here in RT, I think it's about time that people in Ireland, particularly our leaders, woke up to the fact that we have this enormous resource, and that if you were to fund science and research in this area, we could genuinely change things. So there are a couple of areas where we're already leading, and one is in particular is offshore wind. So there is a company at the moment that is looking to float offshore wind farms off the coast of Ireland. So on the western coast, and these could generate enormous amounts of energy for Ireland, and they would be able to export that energy. So the big issue on the western seaboard is the depth of the ocean. So you can't tether a wind turbine to the ocean floor necessarily. So you'd have to have it floating. And if it's floating, that brings its own engineering challenges. There's also the challenge of connecting it into the grid as well. So you can get the energy from the ocean to the mainland and on to the consumer. But of course, everyone who's a sort of a skeptic about wind will say, what happens when the wind doesn't blow, right? Well, the other huge resource that we have in Ireland off the west coast are waves. Mm. And it is the most predictable source of renewable energy, because the moon is going to continue to go around the earth. We're going to continue to have waves. And so we will always have this resource.
Remind people how waves are formed.
So waves are formed from wind that's moving across the surface of the ocean. And the waves that form off the Atlantic coast coast in Ireland can be up to about 20 metres tall, which is far higher than a two-storey house, much, much higher. And so these huge waves have enormous, what we call kinetic energy, energy due to movement. So you imagine having something bobbing out in the ocean and it lifts with a wave and then it falls. And as it lifts and falls, energy is given to this device. And if we can harness that, then we genuinely would have broken our needs, and we would probably be selling energy to the rest of Europe. But this is the crazy thing. There is so little money going into this area in Ireland. What's going to happen is, just like what happened with wind energy, other countries are not just going to have these things before us. They're going to develop the technology to do this. And that's where it's at, right? Because if we had been like the Danes back in the 80s or the 90s, and we'd seen the potential of wind, we would have built the wind turbines here. We would have had all of that technology, and we'd be exporting it as opposed to importing it. So it's about a mindset change. You know, I think things like 25 cents in a coffee cup are fantastic, but this is a drop in the ocean. I'll give you a David Attenborough quote that talks about this. He says, anyone who thinks there can be limitless growth in a limited environment is either a mad person or an economist. And I think this just highlights
for
I know, God love them. But it is, and the president spoke about it yesterday, Michael Dee. He said
that
we need to start thinking about Ireland not just from a neoliberalist point of view, but linking ecology, linking nature, and linking our natural resources like the Atlantic Ocean to our economy, because economies are there to serve our needs. They're there to make us happier. And if they're not doing that and keeping us safe, we have to question what's going on.
Well, I hear your passion. Shane Bergen, this is extraordinaire. We'll take a break.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.